Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And on Monday, 6 till 7 Pacific time. Whoa, I'm so excited today. Like I'm always, every Monday, say I'm excited because I am. I love my Mondays and I love my guests. Some guests I like more than others, but some. Oh, one of my guests is doing a video. Don't do video here. And I love her too because she is somebody that I know when she was young, very young, and now, you know, watching her to grow and be beautiful and smart and successful, and she has a very cool blog that people need to turn into, onto or into, what is the English, who knows, but, and read. We'll be talking to Ali Warner in a moment, and then in the studio, I also have somebody very, very special, not at all. I have a guest that I'm a little afraid of asking some questions to not being maybe be punished in some way because she's a lawyer and she was a prosecutor and she is a former prosecutor, which she probably say, hey, I was former prosecutor. But anyway, she her name is Natalia Matusik, which if people remember, Ilona Europa is originally from Poland and obvious, her name sounds European. Yes, she is a Polish girl, and I'm so proud of her. I wanted Natalia to come to my show, I don't know, I think 2 years ago. We just start writing and sending tiny notes, but like I always say, the right time is whenever things happen. And today is the right day, right time. And right moment to meet Natalia Matusik. Okay, then, hello, Natalia.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, gosh. Do you have an accent?
Of course.
Where?
Well, I was 18 when I moved here, so I don't think I'll ever get rid of my accent.
She doesn't have one. Does she have an accent, Ali?
A little accent.
God, thank you. Okay, because to my ears, you're a perfect speaker. Perfect speaking person, but I'm so, so happy that maybe I'll catch you on some word that sounds a little more European than American, because when it comes to my accent, people know no choice stays with me forever, but not when I sing, I hope. Anyway, yes, we will be talking little serious stuff, and not only, because it's just so hard to not look at you, Natalia, and see and tell people how beautiful you are. She is so beautiful, and obvious beauty and being beautiful woman and smart and educated. This is like dynamite. What do you think, Ali?
No, I completely agree.
You are too.
Yeah.
I love posting your pictures because when I post the picture, I have like in moments 700, 800 people like boom, boom, boom. You know, you're doing something right. You know your corners, you know your angles, you know how to, and it's very good. And you are into fashion. You know, then you need to help us with that too. I really need your help.
Teach you a selfie.
Yeah, but we have two strong women here, and I will say maybe three because I am very, very strong woman, and sometimes I'm too strong for myself, but I like that about myself. And having a representative of the law, knowing also for my beautiful people who listen to me, that a week ago I was chosen to be on a jury duty for the first time in my life in America. I was petrified, and obvious everybody doesn't want to be part of jury duty. We all want to get out. I was almost chosen. Then they let me go after 2 days, but that's okay. Still was a beautiful moment in my life that in the beginning I didn't want to be part of it. Then I started learning so much. Then when they said to me bye, I'm like, why? I want to stay. I didn't say this out loud. But in a way, that was a very, very, very cool experience. And next time, if they ever choose me, I will be silent. I will be just saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I want to learn. Okay, let's start seriously. Okay. Let's talk Matusik Law.
Matusik, this is how Americans pronounce it. I actually, over the years, had to learn how to butcher my own last name. So they say Matusik.
Matusik Law. Could you spell, because this is your law firm, and we will find out, we will rewind your life, like, to maybe age when you were 7, 8, and now you are very young and beautiful, then we'll find out what was going on in Poland, why did you leave country, and why you are here, and when, and you decided that's what you wanted to do, because so many years, oh my God, studying, I can't even believe that you went through that. Then, you said Matu, how do they spell in America?
Well, I used to say my name, like, literally 40 times a day when I was in court, when I was a prosecutor. And this is when, after a while, I finally gave up. I used to say Natalia Matusik for the people. Nobody could ever pronounce my last name, so I finally said, okay, fine. And I would just say Natalia Matusik for the people. So, you know, in the last 10 years or so, I just pretty much got used to pronouncing my last name,
okay.
Matusik.
So, and okay, then people have no problem with that, but it still is not often used name. I don't hear, I didn't meet Matusik, another one, in America. There's lots of them, you think?
Me neither. I believe there was a famous soccer player by the same last name, but anyway. But it's not the most...
But he was in a Zabrze, Górnik Zabrze. He was in a kind of Silesia, part of Poland.
Exactly.
I knew him.
Yeah.
It was in the 70s. I remember his name. Okay, then... Can you also spell your name? Because that's very, very important for people to know if they want to find you.
Okay. It's Matusik. Matusik.
Law.
Law.com. Yes.
Law.com. Very easy to find you. Then you were 6 and 7 years old, maybe one day. Yes. Were you very serious, young girl?
I actually was pretty serious.
Because, you know, when you think law, lawyer, you always say very serious people. But somehow I believe that you are very serious what you do. But hopefully when you leave the place, court or your law firm, you are just also just free-spirited, beautiful woman who probably has a lot of hobbies and wants to do good stuff, fun stuff, interesting stuff. I would love to also find out this part of you. Then, okay, when you were like 6, 7 years old, you were very good student in Poland?
I was an excellent student. So was my brother. When I was 6, 7 years old, obviously there was a time when you would go to an elementary school in Poland. My parents sent us to a school that was a little further than the closest school. So, yeah, I was pretty much focused on my studies. You know, it was communist Poland. I still have, you know, think that I had the best childhood that any kid, you know, could dream of. You know, people always, you know, assume that just because we grew up in under communism, it was so horrible. I think it was a very healthy childhood, and I was very close with my grandparents. My grandmother founded an orphanage after World War II, and that was also a huge part of my life and probably my career choice as well.
Wow, that's another show, and I will be loving to talk to you about that, and hopefully you will be back. And people need to know that I love Poland. I love everything what my country gave it to me. I came to America because I fell in love with the gentleman that was married for too long, 20-something years, and then he said, oh, we said bye-bye. And big tragedy, but I needed to know Natalia then, but I didn't. I made so many mistakes when I was divorcing my ex-husband, but what is in the past is in the past, but I think I'll be very good to talk to you about certain mistakes that ladies like me do when they're going through divorce. One day when we'll have separate show that is like focused on maybe divorce law, because this is one of course.
One of the areas that I practice now, yes.
Okay, I don't want to jump because I still want to have an understanding. Mm-hmm. After the beautiful, wonderful upbringing in Poland, and mm-hmm. you are coming from Krakow, and I know everybody knows, hopefully.
Sorry to interrupt. My dad's family is from Krakow and the areas around Krakow, and my parents actually met in Opole. So my mom's family is not from Krakow, although they are from the eastern part of Poland. But yes, we're very connected to the eastern part of Poland, Krakow, Rzeszów. But I grew up in Opole and Silesia in the German part of Poland.
Okay, and very close to Gliwice, Katowice, which
where you're from.
Part is also Silesia, also Germanic part of Poland. You know, if people want to know Polish history, start studying, and it's not enough days in a year to really learn about this beautiful country. Then high school.
I went to high school in Poland. I was very studious. I got into a very good, you know, in Poland there are different types of high schools. There's liceum and technikum and etc. So I got into, and I have a 2 year older brother. He's a professor at MIT, a very successful man. So he went to this, he went to this high school that was considered to be the best one, and was mathematics, physics. You actually have to apply to get in. And so I went to the same class. I was 2 years behind him. He's actually married to a woman he went to high school with.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And they're together.
They live in Boston, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
We can say hi to your brother.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Wojciech Matus.
Hi, Wojciech. Mama and daddy names?
Roman and Halina.
Roman and Halina. Cześć. Hi. Hopefully one day we'll meet you too. And after high school, obviously you were a very good student. Brother was amazing student.
Yeah.
But somehow, somewhere in age of 18, whole family moved
into? The entire family. My parents won a green card in a lottery. To be quite honest, I didn't really want to move here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my life in Poland. This is the time when, you know, I started having fun. You know how it is in Poland. At 18, you're pretty much considered an adult. So
I was married in age of 18, first husband, and I was mother in age of 18. Don't do this at home. But yeah, 18 years old
so lady in
Poland, pretty serious. You are right. You can start your family, and everybody says that's okay, which was silly, but that was my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you say you love to be a teenager in Poland, but then your parents won green card.
In a lottery, correct.
In a lottery. This could be like the biggest strategy or the biggest happy moment. And do you remember this moment when they received in a mail?
I didn't really think much of it. I didn't even think we were going to move here permanently. But the way it works, you pretty much have to leave the country. You go through a series of interviews. And then when you're actually approved, you have to relocate within 3 months. So, it was very sudden to me. I really did not want to leave. I had a great life.
But your brother was already 20 years old.
He was already going to, he was studying at the university in Wrocław.
Yeah, did he want to leave country?
You know,
or he wanted to finish his studying in Poland?
My brother had always known what he wanted to do in life. He always knew he wanted to be in computer science, a very specific area. So my brother, regardless of whether my parents would have won the green card in the lottery, I think my brother would have ended up in the United States anyway, because that's where you, if you want to pursue this sort of career, that's where you have to do that.
Okay.
So.
Okay, the congratulations. 3 months, pack and go to another country.
Exactly.
Did you speak English when you moved here?
You know, the funny thing is my parents used to send us to these private English lessons.
Oh,
and then,
that.
Of course, in high school, the class I was in had English component to it. But when I moved here, I honestly did not understand much. I think studying British English a few hours a week versus listening to CNN and with American accent, I really didn't understand a lot.
Same when it comes to my story. Yeah. Everybody thought that you are a singer, you sing in English and you must understand most of the lyrics. I had no idea what I was singing about until they were about love. Then obviously it was very easy to remember. And yeah, but I started understanding English when I started laughing at Leno jokes on TV. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I got it something. Okay, I must understand
Jay
English.
Jay Leno.
Oh, yeah.
Watch him religiously every night.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was my English school. Yes, mm-hmm. At night I was sitting and watching and reading a lot of people, Acquire, Stars, People magazines, because they had short stories. Interesting to me, I like entertainment business, and I had dictionary. I was learning on my own. But you didn't. In age of 18, you moved to America. That's correct. Pretty serious. Poor parents. And they moved right away here?
Well, yeah, they've lived in Orange County ever since. They moved. I actually moved here, and then I decided that I'm not so sure whether I want to be here, so I actually moved back to Poland.
Yeah, I can understand.
Because my brother was still there and lived with my grandparents for almost a year, and then both my brother and I permanently.
What a similar story. I have another daughter in Poland, and mm-hmm. she got a green card when I was already in America, and she was coming here and going, but she just refused to stay in America. She went back and finished her doctor degree mm-hmm. in musicology mm-hmm. in Poland, and just practically let it go of green card, and now she's in Warsaw and doing her very smart stuff. But yeah, she was here and then there, here and there, but her decision was, I need to finish education in Poland, and she's all about Polish culture. Then I know here will be maybe not so necessary for everybody to understand her love towards mm-hmm. studying the Polish culture. Anyway, then you came back.
Yes, I came back, and it was really a process. For a while, I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a chance. And I ended up going to a community college. And then, you know, with time, I started, you know, getting used to being here. But it wasn't like people thought that, like, oh, you moved to America, and yes. it's this big American dream. That was not my experience initially. And then when I transferred to UCLA, I actually really enjoyed living in LA. And
You were part of a group of people, probably, that you enjoyed to be around?
I actually was hanging out with a lot of foreigners. Greeks, Italians, Brazilians, those were my friends at UCLA.
So. Wonderful. You see, this is the show for all of them to come and talk about their lives. Then if you still are keeping in touch with them and they have some cool story to tell to people,
accent on. I do keep in touch with them.
Yes, please, you know, think who will be the cool guest from your past. You all can come and we can talk about the UCLA time. But obviously UCLA was about studying, and you studied the law right away. How does this work?
No. I got my bachelor's degree in political science and sociology. Okay. Then I ended up going to a graduate school, and I think I mentioned him to you, Maciek Kołodziejczak, who is retiring this year. He's one of the head administrators there. He actually helped me get into the Laskin School of Public Policy, Social Research and Urban Planning. I thought that I was going to get a double degree, go to UCLA Law, which is what I really wanted to do. That didn't happen. I didn't get accepted. But after I finished, after I got my bachelor's from UCLA, again, a master's degree from the of Public Policy, then I went to law school. So as I mentioned,
my God.
Prior to the show, we were joking around that I was a perpetual student for a long time.
That's, you know what, that's your journey, but you are like very well-studied woman. And I think you have lots of opinions about things that are going on in life. You probably are passionate about what you eventually wind up to do, which means opening your own practice law. But before, you were a prosecutor. That scares me. Mm-hmm. You were not afraid to be one?
I ended up getting the job as a coincidence because I went to law school in San Diego.
Okay.
And I really wanted to live in San Diego, and I ended up meeting a bunch of these public defenders from Murrieta at one of the one-week long seminars. It's like networking, and they said, well, you can totally get a job at the public defender's office here in Riverside, you know, you can just live in San Diego, commute to Murrieta. And what ended up happening is I ended up going to the interview. I didn't get the job within 2 days, probably because they have some sort of an internal county database system. They called me from the Riverside DA's office, and I had my interview literally like on Tuesday with everyone, like two separate interviews all the way with the elected DA, and then 2 days later he called me and he offered me the job, and the rest is history.
Wow. It's just so above and beyond the things that you are going through, because you saw America probably on and American problems and people's problems from the worst side, yes? And
correct.
Who are your clients? They were mostly criminalists? Civil law? Who?
Well, no.
I called these clients who, yeah, when you were a prosecutor.
I also want to let you know, which is, you know, an important thing to know about my career and my past. I never really sought to be a prosecutor, but once I got the job, as I mentioned, it's kind of a coincidence. I realized that it's exactly what I, you know, was meant to do, because all my life I'd been fascinated with criminal law. When I moved here, this is when the O.J. Simpson trial was taking place, and I was very much into it. The whole domestic violence arena changed after that murder, and I actually spent half of my career as a prosecutor handling domestic violence cases. So that, you know, as you can imagine, it's very related to family law.
Yes.
Civil harassment, restraining orders, you know, etc. But anyway, so my clients have been, I practice law in a few areas. I'm a litigator, I'm a trial attorney. I've done 30-plus jury trials, so that's not something that most attorneys, you know, do. My hope is to translate those trial skills into some other areas of the law, civil. I handled a real estate fraud elder abuse case last year. It was a Polish client, actually. Very challenging for me, because it was a new area of the law. But, you know, all the skills that I learned over there turned out to be very helpful. So I've had civil harassment restraining orders, some criminal cases, landlord-tenant cases, divorces, you know, just a mixed bag. But I still limit myself to a few areas.
Wow.
That, because I can't be good at everything.
I hope in law you probably, maybe you can be, because if you are not, you know where to reach out for your answers if you have one.
Correct.
And
you're
that's
right.
What I think
you're
to being right. Amazing lawyer, you are not afraid of who you are helping or who you're prosecuting. Oh my gosh, even scared.
It because you need sounds to worse than it actually was.
Yeah, maybe I'm watching too many TV. And I love it. But, you know, no. I really think we cannot underestimate how serious this is, all what you do. Because even when you have person who puts day life into your hands, for them means day life.
Right.
And you are responding to day life problems, and they could be really scary. And we are not only talking about violence, but sometimes even family issues can break you apart, you know. And some lawyers can drag your, I'm talking divorce.
Yeah, you're
forever. Not that I was dragged forever, but I needed to fire a lawyer after 7 months of representing me, getting nowhere or getting no alimony set up at all, and hire another one. In 2 weeks, I got divorced for tiny amount of money that I already paid the first lawyer. And, you know, it was like, and you don't know these things. When you wake up one day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to deal with law on in any corner, in any arena. It's like, oh, you have so many lawyers. Huh? It's like a call to dentist, 800 dentists,
right,
or something. I don't think so. You really need to find the right one. And sometimes you don't like a lawyer that represents you, or you don't like doctor who you need to switch doctor. That's everything is petrifying. How people can find you? I know we were telling people your name. Could we one more time give a contact to you?
My phone number is 310-962-2992, and my website is www.matusiklaw.com. And my email address is info@matusiklaw.com.
And because today we are talking lightly about everything, your life, and your life is just beautiful, filled with so much, you know, learning and schooling, and you are so young, you have everything in front of you, and you did so much already in your professional life. Now you have your own law firm, and I really want people to one more time understand what type of practice areas you represent. Because when it comes to me, I will go straight to you if I have divorce issue.
But we know you'll never get married.
You know, I will know you 4 years ago, you will be my lawyer of choice. But I still have some stuff that are hanging out after my divorce. Then obvious, we all need good lawyer. We all need good lawyer. And a lawyer who knows lawyer. Then I think we have like our advice lawyer here on Accenton. Very, very important. And like I said, 2 years took me to really have you in the studio. And we wanted to meet, but today is the day. Then I want to give people everything what they can for this meeting. Because we'll have new one. But right now, tell us. Practice areas.
Okay. So obviously, the logical step for me after being a prosecutor is to handle any type of criminal defense case. However, I have handled family law cases, landlord-tenant, which is a very interesting area of the law, real estate, done some prenuptial agreements, you know, which is not necessarily litigation, real estate fraud. So, you know, a few areas, they are listed on my website. But
yes, I'm looking at your website. It's very, very informative. It's very condensed, and I like that.
Because I'm still working on the website. It's a work in progress.
No, I think it's perfect. But when you go to family law and you read prenuptial agreements, marriage, civil unions, domestic partnerships, adoption, and surrogacy, if I speak English funny, you just tell me stop, child abuse and child abductions, termination of marriage, annulments and divorce, divorce, property, settlements, alimony, child custody, visitation right, child support, spousal alimony, paternity. Testing. I cannot do this anymore. Paternity fraud and restraining orders. That covers everything what anybody, any man or woman needs if they're in trouble when it comes to divorce. When it comes to criminal law, DUIs.
Oh, obviously.
Scary.
That's easy.
Okay.
Easy. If you have the right lawyer, and I've handled a few DUIs here in LA, you know, I mean, most of the time, you know, it's just a question of getting the best deal you can possibly get. But, you know, people think like the DUIs are easy, but really you have to make sure to get all the evidence from the DA, make sure that all the equipment was working properly, etc. I just met with a supervisor, DA, last week, because I have a case that my client would have pled to something that I don't feel morally confident he should plead guilty to. So I'm still trying to negotiate something much better for him. So that's it. You know, unless the case is something that should go to trial, which actually, you know, involves you know, consulting expert witnesses. But anyway, so DUIs, yes, I've done thousands of them.
Oh, wow. And then domestic violence, child abuse, child endangerment, narcotics.
Oh, narcotics, yeah, drugs. Yeah.
Of course, general felonies, robbery, burglary, and thief. I couldn't be a lawyer reading all of these words. I'm scared. But I want people to know, this is a lady who is sitting here in front of us, and she can do it. All what I'm talking about, go to her website. Also, it's so cool, white collar offenses. What does this mean? Financial? What does this mean?
It's basically financial offenses.
Okay, as frauds and stuff like
fraud,
that.
Fraud, yeah.
Okay, then civil litigation.
Yeah, that's something that I'm hoping down the road is going to be my main area of practice.
Okay.
And actually doing more complex civil jury trials. So,
and when you say yes,
which you just were a prospective juror on.
Yep. When you say civil litigation, people say, huh?
Okay, we call this
personal injury, business litigation, real estate litigations, and real estate fraud.
Right. But remember, all of this is litigation. Because in the United States, when you look at the at law just from like a very basic perspective, you have transactional law and litigation. So transactional is essentially, you know, creating contracts, basically preventing litigation. Mm-hmm. Not that I couldn't do, not that I couldn't, you know, create a lease agreement for you, but, you know, litigation is when there's already a dispute, it's already in court, and you have two parties, adversarial, and the case is basically, the case basically
before
is
goes to court. You really want to resolve the issue before.
Well, you want to resolve it, but you
keep costs down also.
Of course, it's a huge consideration.
That's another show. And
yeah,
I was,
that's another show.
I was invited once to watch the litigation process, and that was really interesting. And the lawyers were amazing. The way how they were dealing with deals and leaving rooms and coming back and putting everything on the table.
Oh, so it was like a mediation.
Yes. Then wills and trusts.
Yes. And the reason why I am familiar with this area of the law is because of the case I handled last year that actually ended up going to trial. It was, as I mentioned, a real estate fraud, elder abuse case, and I learned so much about wills and trusts, power of attorneys, not something I necessarily was looking to learn, but I ended up, you know, learning a lot about this area of the law.
Okay,
by
did they
complete
win?
Coincidence.
Did they win?
I
that's what we want to know, okay?
I'm trying to be modest here, but I have a really good trial record.
People, this is serious. We have really, really amazing, strong lawyer, prosecutor before. How many years?
8.5
Gosh! Now she has her own law firm. One more time, name of your law firm, because I badly tried to describe, but doesn't matter, because you represent all of us, and this is Accent On. We are talking about people who speak like me and maybe even worse, okay? And many different languages. And happened, you are coming from Eastern Europe, but you are one of the bestest lawyers here around. You are very strong. And now you're telling us that you mostly are winning. Then I think people need to know about you. And also, I think the likability is very important. And trust, when you look at somebody and believe what they are saying. And I can tell everybody, she is my friend for right now, forever. What do you think, Ali? Is she your friend for everything? What in the future you will need? God, please not. But if we...
I mean, my dad's been trying to get me to go to law school, and now I'm, like, actually considering it just because you sold it so well. And I'm like, I can do it. She can do it. She makes me believe I can do it.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, I'm impressed right now. This is very fun to listen to.
Oh, we need a dinner together with your daddy, and because then he'll be paying for all of this expenses. But he will love to help you to get there if that's what is your dream.
No, and this is a very
Yeah, inspirational. She's so beautifully strong woman. And I don't want to ask this question before I will move to Ali, interview with Ali. But you are beautiful. Is this good or works against you or helps you?
Well, thank you for the compliment. You mean in professional life?
Yes.
I think it's actually worked against me. When I
but is it a shock value that people probably what you're going through?
No, because people assume that you're a threat to them. They're jealous. You know, at the DA's office, you know, some female supervisors, let's just say, didn't make my life the easiest.
Very, very important topic. I am not sure that you one day you want to talk about this, but I think we have a lot of people downloading my show, and a lot of people are listening also. And I think we want to hear from strong woman perspective that things like that are happening, and we can be beat up by this situation if we are smart and beautiful and opinionated, all of these things, or carry on the best like we can. But seems like you are doing okay. You don't need anybody. Are you on your own, like in your law firm, or you have people working?
I have an amazing investigator that I've known for, again, almost 10 years. He's a former sheriff from Riverside County, and ironically, when I opened my firm, he opened his firm. So he's my investigator. We work very closely on cases together. And you can actually see him on my website. His website is linked to mine. But I don't have any paralegal or any staff, at least not at this point. Hopefully in the future.
Wonderful. I believe we'll get you a lot of clients. And I know you're very, very busy anyway, but the cool cases you need, because we all are excited about something that maybe we need to learn more. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, the wills and trust. That was mm-hmm. something that last year you won, but you needed to learn even more, constantly mm-hmm. learning. Okay, today we are talking with Natalia.
Natalia Matus.
And can we give people one more time your phone number?
It's 310-962-2992.
Black people know we didn't cover what Natalia is doing after when she comes back to home, because I know that smart, opinionated, great lady is beautiful. They have something going on in private life, and I'm sure you have a lot of hobbies, a lot of good stuff that you can just tell us about. Then let's move right now to Ali. Ali!
I don't know how to follow up that, though.
Ali! No, you know, it's a very, very cool saying that I like. Somebody said, don't compare yourself to anybody in the room. You just come and you present yourself yeah. as you are the one and only one. And you are the one and only one. I'm the one and only one. We just understand our strength, and we need to keep going with what we think we represent. And I want people to know more about you. Hopefully people remember we had like two already interviews, I think. And last time you had a sister here. Hi, sister.
Katie, I don't know where she is. She's running around somewhere working.
We let her, but yeah. She's an actor.
She's going through the process of becoming an actress in LA, which is a beast in itself. But at the same time, she actually works in a school. So she works with little kids, which is really
sweet.
Oh,
that's good. No, that's all yeah. what we need to do. And
best of both worlds.
Yep. Waiting for big break. But yeah. dreams, where can you dream more? Like in LA. Oh, the dreams. You are dreaming too.
Always.
Always. And I love this about you. Like I say, I know you for so many years. We are not too close, but when we pop up to each other lives, we right away find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think last few years, they were tough years for you. I know, like most of ladies, you came out just right now stronger after having your heart broken.
It was a transitional period.
Yeah, and that's not about that, but still this is a strength of the woman that we can pick up our, you know, pieces and just find out what is the next. And I think your next is to take care of yourself and your intellectual needs
yeah.
and travel needs.
That's
and about your blog, we need to remind people you're a blogger.
Yeah.
What does this mean? That's almost sounding like business. Is this a business right now?
Well, these days I feel like everybody you meet has a blog, and yes. they like to write and they like to express themselves, which is incredible because it's, you know, the freedom of expression is so important. But yeah, it's not a business. It's been a hobby or a passion project, which might be a better way of putting it. But I've been invested emotionally in the blog since I started blogging when I was 16. And then it transitioned into a fashion blog when I turned 19. And then I went solo around that time also. And so then I've basically been maintaining this blog for roughly 7 years now. So
it's... Name of the blog.
It's Sparkles and Stilettos. So W.
I love
yeah,
this name.
Sparkles and Stilettos. It's pretty easy to spell, but Sparkles and Stilettos. And I actually just had to teach myself how to transfer all of my posts from one platform to another, and now I'm trying to teach myself how to do like SEO and like all of this kind of stuff, which is very web related, and it's difficult, but it's kind of challenging in a good way, where, you know, you're learning and you're making yourself more marketable for potential job opportunities in the future. So
you're a good writer.
How
did you learn how to write so well?
I read a lot of books, which is why my dad wants me to go to law school, because I'm always reading and I'm always writing and I love that kind of stuff. But I've been reading since forever. Like, I'm always have a book. And then at the same time, I went to school for English, so I was an English major and always writing in that sense also. And I just love the idea that writing and reading are so... it's very therapeutic, and at the same time you learn a lot about just human nature and human behavior. And I think with my own writing, it's kind of an analysis into my own psyche, for lack of, you know.
When I read, or my daughter reads, we love to read your blogs. And Natasha always says, hey, did you read? And yeah, it seems like you're writing about your life, and you are thinking very deeply about things that happen or that you saw. But do you really, when you're writing, do you think about people who will read the blog and what they will take away after when they read for themselves? Or really is this very personal? And then you ask people, hey, if helps you or not helps you is your problem. If you come back, thank you so much. But if not, it's really all about me in a good way.
I mean, for the longest time, and still to this day, like, I really don't allow comments because I don't want comments. I don't want... It's not for that. It's not for the attention. It's for, like I said, it's my own analysis of my own head. But I like to focus on the bad, if that makes sense. So, like, I like to pick things that are negative about myself and, you know, things that are making me feel that are, like, personality traits or things that I do that are holding myself back from succeeding. And then it's more so me sitting down being like, why is this an issue and why am I focusing on this and why is it keeping me back and what can I do to fix it? And you know, it's a lot of just backtracking and, you know, trying to figure out why I act the way I do and what pushes me to do certain things and not other things, if that makes sense. But it's not so much like focusing on the reader as it is focusing on myself, which is kind of selfish. But
no. I think we are all treating ourselves selfishly. God, thank you. And we need to.
Yeah.
What about you, Natalia?
Do I treat myself?
Yeah, you know, because like she mentioned that really her blog.
I was listening to it.
And she focused on the negative issues that she wants to resolve.
I love that.
No,
because I'm extremely self-critical.
Yeah.
Even probably too harsh on myself. So, you know, it's an interesting approach that you're actually writing a blog instead of some fake, happy-go-lucky stuff, to actually focusing on what we could change within ourselves, you know, to better ourselves. So
yeah,
that's good.
And I try to make every post have an optimistic end to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, the purpose of the blog for the past couple years has been to help myself cope and help myself just navigate being in your mid-20s and figuring stuff out. And it requires a lot of analysis for myself. Like, that's just the way I work and my brain works, and I'm very like, I just need to sit down and lay down everything so I can see it on paper and then I can go from there. I'm not good at just being like, it's okay, it's whatever, and I'm not good at that. I need to really like think it out and have an idea about it so that way I can move on with my own life.
And you are moving on with your life. I know this is a process, and I think even when we are happy, we still need to have a direction, because if you sit in your own happiness or around you, nothing happens. Oh, I'm happy.
People that are eternal. Like, people that are, I'm a very optimistic person. I'm very cheerful, but I definitely are like, I have my Eeyore moments when I want to like go into a hut and, you know, have the rainfall and just have my moments. But at the same time, it's like you have to just embrace it and accept it and know that, you know, people can be happy, but at the same time it's like you have to embrace the negative too.
Yeah,
it comes when they're together, they go hand in hand.
It's true, that's life. You know, and when I see this internal people who say, it's okay, how are you, perfect, this, no, it's not, but whatever, bye. But then you stop somebody and you have a nice conversation like with you, and hopefully we'll know Natalie much deeper, and you both could be very good friends. You can have somebody really to talk to when you pick the law, and you
really
seriously.
If my dad succeeds with his.
Yes. You know, why not? That's your decision.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter where this will lead you. This is a decision for today. You are taking, you know, or maybe law is your destiny. Who knows? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a pretty tough one, but good.
I'm just focusing on paying rent right now.
I know, but that's like...
I know. That's the thing, though. It's like,
you
it's one hurdle at a time.
That.
There
you
is.
Can go around that.
I mean, I'm just proud of myself because I've, you know, when you look back and you say, like, I can't believe that I'm here right now where I am. And it's, you know, I'm working in downtown LA and I'm working in my dream job and I moved out and I'm living in Los Angeles and I, you know, I have a great group of girlfriends. And, you know, when you're just in retrospect, it's great.
Yeah.
And it was worth it. Everything has been worth it. But that doesn't discount that there's been so many struggles, and there have been days when you're like, oh my gosh, and then the days that I cry on my way to my car because I'm like so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But that's everybody deals with that, and that's kind of the stuff that I like to write about on the blog, because the overwhelming feelings that we deal with are the ones that make you who you are. So, you know, you gotta just kind of sit down and embrace them and accept them and not just, you know, put them in a back pocket and run away from it. Because
And hopefully it's always another day.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And remember that. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned how many times my sister committed suicide. In my family, we have a few people who really ending life this way. And she just didn't believe the next day will be the day that will change something, okay? And this life right now that we live in is just petrifying. That being a young person, and I have a beautiful young daughter, and seeing her being so afraid of so many things, you know, she has so many things figured out, but
yeah.
She's also worried about so many things that when we were in Poland and we lived our life, we were happy. We never were worried so much. Everybody said, oh, it's dangerous. No, we were safe in our country.
We lived a sheltered life.
Beautiful shelter. People, you learn about Polish history. A lot of people very well educated, they will say there was a good system to keep a school for free. Culture was very easy, accessible, and young people felt safe. We had places to go, places to see. Parents were not petrifying to let us leave, you know, and come back in a few hours, that somebody will shoot us, or all of these things. That the world is just ugly, but it's not only ugly, because we need to end our blog of life on a positive. If not, we give up and we are scared of living, and we cannot do that. And
I think it also requires some sort of you have to kind of cut yourself off from some of it. So, I mean, it's kind of funny because I work in e-commerce. I work in, like, digital marketing. I work in that whole spectrum of just online. I'm online all the time. But I like to do, like, cleanses, so to speak, where I, like, delete apps and I'll delete Snapchat or I'll delete Facebook and I'll just delete because you have to just disconnect from it.
So true.
Because I feel like so much of that is what makes being a millennial right now so overwhelming is that you're constantly comparing yourself to, you know, Bob from high school who is the same age as you but working as, like, a top lawyer in a firm. And then I'm sitting here like, okay, well, I'm making X amount of dollars an hour and I'm struggling to pay this much rent. And, like, how do I compare myself? Like, how do I compete with that? Because you can't. But there's, like, this constant comparison, which is very difficult right now. And I think that is why it's really... It's unfortunate, but it's like you have to kind of just turn off and recognize that that's not you.
You need to.
Yeah.
And coming back a month ago, I was with my daughter in Europe, and I'm talking Poland.
Your trip looked amazing.
Trip was amazing.
It looked incredible.
And not that we are rich or something. We really had a budget for everything that we're
doing.
That's
how you have to do it, though.
Yeah,
got it.
Some people don't need to think about it. We, two girls, we need to think about this very carefully. But we had the best time. Surrounded by people who also know how to have the best time because they travel, because they see places. They just are not on the 101 all the time or 405 driving places. And when Saturday and Sunday hits you, you just don't want to do anything, or you are going to the same places over and over. And I'm calling these places mall because it's good food there, and maybe I buy new shoes. And then I'm tired because I'm so tired of all week. You know, something is wrong with everything what we do. I don't know what, because obviously we have distances everywhere. But Natalie, you are going to Poland right now, yes?
I'm going to Poland at the end of August with my parents.
Yeah, I cannot wait for you when you come back, and we'll talk about how did you find Europe after a few years not being there, which is amazing. But yeah, they're being able to travel for so little, $20 gets you to Spain, gets you to France, gets you to... You know, my friends are every weekend somewhere else. You know, it wasn't like that before, but in a way, I think we are missing something. And where people are going all the time? I don't know where they go for vacation. I never had vacation here in my life with my family for 21 years, never went anywhere except Vegas for 2-3 days. Crazy! Okay, crazy. Then things need to be changed. And we are doing, me and my daughter, we are doing something about it too. We're really having our budget for the travel. We are planning what will be the next one. And we will do that. And I know
you position your priorities. You make certain things more...
Very important, yes, to us right now, to have almost very little, whatever the little is, but really spend life on the holding to memories.
And, yeah.
Create them. Okay, hopefully you're very nice people on the road when we meet. You are going to Europe right now for how many days?
17 days.
People don't hate her. Okay, she earned that. Where you will be?
I'm doing a very ambitious trip where I'm going to 7 cities in 17 days. But I'm going to London and Paris, which I've done before. But I'm going with a girl who I'm really good friends with who's never been to Europe. So she has to see London and Paris. And then we're going from there to Amsterdam, Prague, Athens, Santorini. We're going from Santorini, we're flying to Stockholm, Sweden, and then flying home.
Lovely.
But now after hearing you guys, I should have put Poland on the list. Now I'm
That will happen naturally. This will happen. If that's what meant to be, you will go to Krakow, which you need to see our country and our towns. For today, it's already 6:50. I hate when I need to say bye-bye. But again, we are talking to Ali Warner, and your blog name is?
Sparkles and Stilettos.
And we have wonderful, amazing, very smart and beautiful lawyer. And she'll be back, hopefully. And Matusi Glo. Oh, gosh, I'm speaking Polish. Sorry, but I see. Please tell how Americans are.
Yeah, matusiklaw.com.
Okay, I will learn Matusik. Okay, and what can I say? Will you be back?
I would love to come back. We have many more subjects to cover.
We have, and we all need good lawyers, and we need to understand certain things that you probably say, if you have the problem, go here, go there. That's your first step, mostly calling you. But we'll see how life goes. Be safe, Ali.
Thank you.
Europe is amazing. I know you'll be having
so
amazing
excited.
Time. When you will be back?
But see, I'm doing it the same way you did, on a budget. So it's going to be all about the experiences, and that's it.
We didn't starve too much because food in Europe is amazing.
You'll never starve. Mm-hmm. You'll always find something on the side. You're good, yes. But it's just all about the memories.
Memories. Yeah. I love you girls so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us
today. And I think I will maybe, what can I do for like 2 minutes before I say bye-bye to people? What song? What song? Do I dream? Do I sad song? Listen up?
No sad songs.
We hate songs. Okay. Oh, boy. I don't have not happy song on my computer. Okay, let's go halfway.
Halfway happy.
Okay, no. Yeah, he left me, but I'm still dancing and praying.
There you go.
Listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.